Gracious God, our Father, this morning we pause simply to say thank you, for we realize that it's only by your grace. Lord, we understand that you are coming very soon, and it is our desire, O God, to serve you. It is our desire to move to the next level in our relationship with you and with each other. Lord, I pray that on today that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you will disseminate the information that needs to be shared. And I pray that you'll convict, convert, and challenge us as we open up your word. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21, reading in your hearing verses 1 through 11, but I know that you're in the Word, for Imani is going to be committed as long as I'm here, praise the Lord, that we're going to be people of God's Word. Matthew chapter 21. Beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem and were near the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of them into the village ahead. Just as you enter, he said, you will see a donkey tied there with his colt beside it. Untie them, this is Jesus now, and bring them here. If anyone asks you what you are doing, just say the master needs them, and there will be no trouble. That's in the red. This was done to fulfill the ancient prophecy. Tell Jerusalem, her king is coming to her, riding humbly on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus said and brought the animals to him and threw their garments over the colt for him to ride on. And some in the crowd threw down their coats along the road ahead of him. And others cut branches from the trees and spread them out before him. Then the crowd surged on ahead and pressed along behind, shouting, God bless King David's son. God's man is here. Bless him, Lord. Praise God in the highest of heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was stirred as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. I would like to share and to teach for just a few moments with your prayers. I would like to simply ask you a question. What are you tied to? What are you tied to? One of the biggest problems in our nation is the issue of addictions. Stay with me. One of the biggest ignored issues in our churches is addictions. So many of us are addicted to so many things. Addiction is a great problem in America. Addiction is a great problem in our church. Some are addicted to drugs. Others are addicted to alcohol. Still, others are addicted to cigarettes and nicotine. Some are addicted to prescription drugs. Some people are addicted to greed and material things. Some people are addicted to power and influence. Some people are addicted to food. Some people are addicted to other people. We call them codependent. Stay with me. Yet even others are addicted to sex. They're what we call sex addicts. And these addictions are so messed up until there was a time we thought we were in control, only to discover that something else is controlling us. And with these addictions, it leads to what we call a pathological use. Something is pathological when we keep doing something, even if we know it is hurting us, but we still do it anyway. That's pathological. So if I keep smoking cigarettes and I know the nicotine is hurting my lungs and eventually is going to cause cancer and maybe death, but I keep smoking anyway, that's pathological. What about that relationship? That relationship with that person, even if it's detrimental to my mental health and stability. Even if possible, it may destroy my physical health and emotional health. Yet I stay with that situation and I never reach out and ask for help. That's pathological. Knowing that those drugs are killing my brain cells and I keep smoking it or snorting it. Knowing that alcohol is bad for my liver, but I keep on drinking it. That's pathological. It's controlling us. But Pastor, I can stop whenever I want to. No, you can't, because you would have stopped. So it's not us controlling it, but it is controlling. It's controlling us. Stay with me. I want you to catch this. I'm teaching you something this morning. Addiction is a great problem. And what makes it worse is the law of diminishing returns. The law of diminishing returns suggests that you have to get more of the same thing in order to get the same high. So whatever level of satisfaction I was getting from something, I have to get more of that to get the same level of satisfaction. So I keep on progressing. I keep on doing a little bit more. It's like sin. Some of us crawl away from it hoping that it will catch us. So a few glasses of wine, it used to give me a buzz. But now to get that same level, I have to drink more, which leads to my addiction. Even now, when we try to pull away from that which we are addicted to, it has such an effect on us psychologically and emotionally and physiologically, it even affects our bodies, is what we call withdrawal. And so we experience these withdrawal symptoms. We keep trying to quit, but it messes with our head. Our emotions, our bodies. And so it pulls us right back in to the situation. Pulls us right back down. It calls our name. That's why people who are addicted to substances would do anything to get that high. Well, why can't they just quit? It has affected their bodies and their minds. But I'm so glad we serve a God, come on now, who is able to set you free. We serve a God who is able to loose you from whatever you are tied to. Ah, there it is. Well, how does he do it? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21. It opens up, listen to me, with Jesus sending two disciples to get a donkey and a foal of a donkey. The donkey and the donkey's colt. They are tied, and Jesus says, listen to this, I want you, talking to the disciples, I want you to untie them. I want you to loose them from whatever they are tied to. Watch this now. And bring them to me. And then Jesus rides them into what we call the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. This would be Jesus' last entry into Jerusalem before his passion period. Isn't that right? Before he dies on the cross and God raises him from the dead. This is his last entry, and he goes on in riding on the donkey. Who has just been set free. I don't want you to miss this. A donkey who was in bondage. A donkey who was tied to something. But it is the master who looses and lets them go so they can participate in the victories of their God. We serve a God who is so awesome. No matter what you are tied to, no matter what you are in bondage to, God is able to loose you and cause you to experience victories you would never have experienced unless God has set you free. So as we take a look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to see the frustration of the situation. Let me hear you say frustration. Now we're in God's Word. I want you to stay with me. We're focused on God's Word. I don't want you to move around with the person sitting next to you, because this isn't for them, it's for you. Frustration. Look at this donkey. He is tied like this in this situation. He should be free, but yet he is in bondage to something that will cause you to be frustrated, appalled. And then look where the donkeys are tied. In verse 1, the Bible says they are tied in Bethphage. Listen, Bethphage was a little small town outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is considered a holy city. Watch this now. And these animals were in bondage close to holiness. Don't miss what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Jerusalem was considered the holy city. And they were tied close to holiness. And I bring this up because everybody who is dealing with an addiction is not strung out in the streets. Everybody who's jacking up is not in a crack house. We have people who come to church every Sabbath but are still in bondage to something. Just because you come to a holy place doesn't make you holy. We could be tied to something that we know we need to let go of, but you're still in bondage even though you're in the house of God. God wants to loose you from that situation, but you just won't let it go. He hurt me, Pastor. She messed that situation up. My money is funny and my child, I won't let go of this situation because I've been hurt. And even though I've been hurt and even though I come to church Sabbath after Sabbath, I make a conscious decision that I will not let this situation go. But what I like about this text is that even though they were tied to something, Jesus knew exactly where to find them. Jesus told his disciples, we're still in God's Word, we're people of God's Word. Jesus told his disciples to go to Bethphage, and you will find these animals there. Okay, these donkeys are tied, and I want you to loose them and bring them to me. Though they were in bondage, you're not catching this, tied to a situation, Jesus knew exactly where they were. You are not so messed up that Jesus has forgotten you. He knows where you are. David says in Psalms, come on now, 139, if I said in the heaven, God is there. If I make my bed, God is there. If I live my life like I shouldn't be living it, even at the foot of hell, God is there. He said, where can I go from the Spirit? Where can I go from the presence? If I ascend in the hills, in the heavens, God is there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, God is there. His hands lead me. His right hand holds me. God is there. God has not forgotten about you. God has not lost you. You may be lost, but God hasn't lost you. He knows right where you are, and he sends his disciples exactly where they are, tied up in a situation, bound to a situation. He sends his disciples right where they are. Now, I don't want you to see just where they were in terms of their bondage, but I want you also to see who it is that is in bondage. Stay with me. The text says it's a donkey and it's a colt. It's a donkey, I'm still in the word, and it's a baby. It's an old donkey and it's a young donkey. And I want you to see this because there's some of us who are a little older, and we always want to talk about our young folks. And these young people need to get themselves together. These young people need to stop this and stop that. No, they're not the only ones in bondage. You have an old donkey in bondage and a young donkey in bondage. And all of us have something we need to come to grips with. It says the fool of a donkey. So it's not just a donkey. It's a donkey and her child. And they're both tied to the same thing. Ah, stay with me. Here's what it is. It's two different generations that are afflicted to the same condition. And I believe it's not just the young people's issues. This situation has occurred. Because the young donkey is connected to the old donkey. Let me say it another way. I believe the young donkey is in bondage because the mother is in bondage. Had the old donkey been free when this baby was born, then the young donkey would be. But because the old donkey was tied to some stuff when she gave birth, so when she gave birth to her baby, it was tied to the same thing that the parent was tied to. You guys are missing this. Meaning this, if you are tied to God, if you're tied to Jesus and his Holy Spirit, and you start having children, they're going to plunge right into what you are tied into. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. But if you're not tied into that, and you're tied into other things, to the third and fourth generations, to them that, I know you can't say amen, but you can look at amen. Sins of the parents that can bring frustration to the children. And so we get mad because we see things in our children that's in us, and we try to beat it out of our children. But you gave it to them. They're tied to the same situation that you're tied to. Whatever I am, I pass on to my children. My traits become my children's tendency. You'll catch this thing. Meaning this, they may never do what I do. This is heavy now. I want you to catch this. You don't want to miss this. They will never do what I do, but they struggle with what I do. I want you to think about that for just a moment. I want you to catch that. This is the word. We're women and men of the word. I'm trying to show you that this young donkey never would have been in this type of bondage had her parent not been in that kind of bondage. It was the young one who was in this situation because of the issues with the old one. And that's frustrating. Because we wonder why we're still struggling and our children are dealing with issues that we know. I'll move on. From frustration to activation. From frustration to activation. I'm trying to help somebody today. Let me hear you say activation. And what I mean by this is you can, though you're frustrated, through the power of God, you can activate through God's power your freedom. You don't have to stay in that predicament. God can set you free. But Pastor, I've been in this situation for years. But God can still set you free. How do you know that he can set you free? Because he told his disciples to go to Bethphage. Listen to this. And you're going to find these two donkeys. And what I want you to do, is in God's word, is to do what? Is to set them free. And then he says, after they're set free, bring them to. I want you to be in God's word. Bring them to. That's what the word says. So in Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, it says that he has been prophesied in the Old Testament by Zechariah that Jesus would ride a donkey and his colt in Jerusalem, which means that even before they got into bondage, watch this now. I don't want you to miss this. Even before they got into this situation, even before they were tied up to this situation, that God had already promised that he was going to set them free. I love this. The Bible had already promised that this donkey and the colt would be the one leading Jesus into this triumphal entry. This is before the donkey and the colt was even born. Somebody right now, you're in a situation. You're tied up to a terrible habit, a horrible habit, a messed up situation. And you think that God cannot set you free? He had already made provisions before you were born. He had already made provisions to set you free from that situation before you even thought about getting into the situation. He had already made provisions to set you free. You've got to understand that. And I wanted to say that slow because I didn't want you to miss that. Because some of us figure, I just can't change. It's too late for me. I have picked up this habit which is framing my character. I've been dealing with the same sins all of my life. And you're wondering if God can set you free from that situation? I declare to you that today, that God can set you free because he had already set it up before you were born to make provisions for you. The promise is already there. Let me say it like this. Even before we were born, God knew we would sin. So he gave us the answer for our sin. Even before he created this world, my Bible says, come on now, that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Even before he created the foundation, God knew that man and woman would sin. But he made a provision. He knew that he would have to send his son Jesus and that he would die for our sins. God already knew he would give us free will and then we would mess up with what he gave us. And so he made a provision. He understood that he was going to have to sacrifice his son that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You don't have to worry if God can deliver you from your situation, because he's already set up provisions that you can make it through this situation. All you have to do is trust in God. God says, you belong to me. I'm your creator. I've already made provisions. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. When he set you free, that should be your mentality. Have you ever ran into somebody who says, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been dry for 15 years or 20 years, but I'm still struggling. I understand the programs, and the programs do work. But I'm trying to get you to understand that when you hook up with Jesus Christ, he can free you from that situation that you're tied to immediately. Oh, you don't believe me? What about the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says that when she reached out and she touched his hem, the Bible says immediately she was set free. But watch this. You can't set yourself free. The donkey and the colt were tied close to holiness, and Jesus sent two disciples to set them free because they could not set themselves free. That's why some of us are still in bondage, because you claim, I can do it, Pastor, by myself. No, you can't. You've got to go outside of yourself. You've got to reach out and touch his hem. You can't do it all by yourself. You've got to trust God that he's got power to deliver you and to set you free. No, it's not you, but it's the God in you. But some of us are so stubborn. I looked that up. I said, why would he use the donkey? Because they're stubborn animals. They don't want to move. They want to be the same way, you know, that they've always done it. The same way. Stubborn. But God says, I'm going to use a donkey, because I want you to understand that even though a stubborn animal is tied to this tree, they don't want to let their situations go. They want to creep back to their problems and their habits. God says, I've got the power to set them free. See, some of us are so stubborn. That we never reach out for God's help. And thus we stay in the same state. And never move to the next level that God would have you to move to. It's like we want to stay in that negative situation. Oh, woe is me. But God wants to give you victory. I mean, do you know people who are always complaining and murmuring about their situations? And they never ever change. And you know what the definition of insanity is, right? Doing the same thing, the same way, and expecting what? A different result. Stubborn. But God wants to change your situation. God wants to simply move you to the next level in your life with him. But you've got to let go and give it to God. It's interesting. I begin to think about this whole passage. And I begin to think about the fact that there are some of us, even sometimes myself, there are situations that we've gone through and we haven't let it go. And we're still tied to the situation. So every now and then we get a little pain from that situation. Watch this. God wants to heal you God wants to set you free. But here you are, creeping back, complaining and murmuring, when God has already given the decree that you're free. Harriet Tubman said that she could have what? She freed thousands of slaves, but she could have freed 10,000 more slaves if they would only knew that they were slaves. Let go and trust God. Believe that He is working your situation out for your good. It may hurt. It may be a little painful. Because when they have to untie you, it's rough. Some of us have been tied to that pole and that situation for too long. And what God wants to do, I want you to catch this. God wants to create in you a new situation. So the Bible says that when the disciples came and they untied the donkeys and the colt, that Jesus Christ got on top of the donkey and the colt. Watch this. And He rode it into Jerusalem. He rode it into victory. That's my word for you this morning. That if you allow God to untie you from that situation, He will ride you into victory. That's the word. And when you understand that, I guarantee you, He will change your situation. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed as we pray together. He'll do it for you. He'll give you victory. Not tomorrow, but today. Whatever, and I'm not going to make an appeal, a visible appeal, but I am going to make a spiritual appeal, because I covered a lot of things, and I'm not here to let everyone see your issues, what you're tied to. But somebody here today, you're tied to drugs, prescription drugs, you're an addict, you know it, and God wants to set you free. Somebody else is tied to alcohol. This is serious. I want you to catch this. And it's destroying your very life. God wants to set you free. Someone else here is tied to sex. You're a sex addict. You're watching porn. You're on the internet. This is real. And you're struggling. God wants to set you free. God wants to give you victory because you're tied to that situation. Somebody else is tied to food. You just can't control your life. You're a binge eater. God wants to give you victory. Someone else is tied to that person next to you, or that person at home waiting on you. You know they're not good for you, but you're a codependent. God wants to set you free. God wants to ride you and your situation into victory. So those of us that have heard God's voice today, those of us that are sitting in this pew, we're men and women of God's word. We're going to pray today. We're going to pray that God truly sets you free. I'm not asking for a visual appeal, because I don't want, you know what you're struggling with. But it's high time for you to wake out of sleep. For your salvation is nearer than when you first believe. The Lord is coming soon. And He is looking for men and women that are going to stand though the heavens may fall. He's looking for men and women that are going to have integrity and that are faithful and committed. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that have kept the commandments of God. Here are they that have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's you. I want you to search your heart. I want you to make it right with God. It's not what Richardson says. It's what God says. Our Father and our God, at this moment, at this time, there are issues in our lives that are dragging us down. We walk around as defeated Christians, oh God, because we cannot seem to overcome the addictions in our lives. But I'm so glad that on today, oh God, through the power of Jesus Christ, that you have come in town. You've come to Jerusalem, a place of holiness. You've stopped by this morning to set us free. You stopped by this morning to give us victory. And so right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I reach out for victory. I reach out for a brand new job in the name of Jesus. I reach out for a clean slate in the name of Jesus. I reach out for power and victory over drugs, for addiction over sex, addiction over finances, addiction over food. I reach out, oh God, because I know that money is evil, Lord, the love of money. Give us victory. Lord, I pray that on today that you'll give us the power to walk right and to live right and to have integrity in Jesus' name. Help us, oh God, for Lord, we cannot help ourselves. We trust you. Whatever we're struggling with, you know. We give it to you. We turn it over to you on this day. Give us victory in Jesus' name.